Howdy, howdy, podcast fans. I'm here with your favorite podcast host. Hello there, Mom, Mrs. Barbara Bray. How you doing?
Oh, I'm just doing fine, son, Mr. Andrew Bray.
Yes. Yes. Oh, listen to us. We both no longer have colds. We did.
Oh, I still have a little.
Yeah,
but
you're hiding it well.
Well, yeah, there's something going around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But life is still good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that you got to have a lot of fun in the sun. Was it sunny down in Florida?
Oh, yeah. It was. I didn't see much of it because I was inside almost the whole time playing. Had too much fun.
Yeah. At what?
Oh, I stayed in a house with five other people and we made TikTok videos. So they really were fun. And then I met so many people. I was interviewed 7 times on 7 podcasts. It was amazing. And then I did a session called Spark the Magic. And it was with Michael, who's one of my roomies. And it got to be really fun and silly. Also, there was all these events, and of course... And
tell their listeners what this was, the framework for this all
it's
was.
It's called FETC, Future of Education Technology Conference. And and the best for me is meeting all the people I've known for years. And and there was a lot. I mean, I took so many selfies. I actually made a TikTok with like, you know, have a collage of like 6 different pictures of collage of people. And then it made all these fun little things with it, like zooming in and changing colors.
See, this is the side that people don't get to see, the side that gets bubbly when you meet a bunch of people that you love in person.
Especially when I dance, because when they dance, they're like, all my friends are like 20 years younger than me. And then I'm dancing, they go, oh my God, look at Barbara. Go, Barbara, go, Barbara. It's too silly, but I loved it. Was, you know, like, go. I said to my husband, your dad, when I came back, I think I had a little too much fun. That's why I got a cold.
The price you pay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's tell folks about this upcoming conversation.
Oh, it's Dr. Martha Umana. I am so fortunate to know her. It's almost, I think, a year ago, she was putting together a group of people, a group of educators, to talk about AI, the future of education, and all of that. So she reached out to me and said, do you think you could help me find some people? Yeah, I just talked to some of my podcast guests, and they all joined. And then she got others that I didn't know, and it was fun working with her. And so we keep in touch. She's very active on LinkedIn, sharing so much about her new work called The Bridge. And her bridge is about bringing together parents and educators and teachers and students, all of them together to think about, I got to just write it down here. It's about the future of education that's not replacing humans with technology. It's about combining AI-powered tools with timeless human strengths, connection, resilience, and reflection. And she's doing an amazing job about the posts she's putting up. They're just, I told her, you could put all those in a book, and she probably will.
All right, let's do it, everybody. Sit back and get excited for this conversation with Barbara Bray and Dr. Martha Umana.
Hi, everyone. I'm excited. I have someone who I've known for some time. I've actually been on her show, and I can't wait for you to meet her, Dr. Martha Umana. Oh, Martha, I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, Barbara, thank you very much for having me. I love the concept of virtual porch because it's very similar to how learning happens. You know, it's relationships, stories, which you are an expert on, fun and honest conversations. So I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, I love it. In fact, I want to kind of boast about you, introduce you to my audience. That's okay.
Perfect.
Okay, so Dr. Umana, I call her Martha, is founder of AIA. Maybe you better tell me a little bit what that means.
Of course, that is because it's in both languages. AI is, the first A is Inteligencia Artificial, then the A place of artificial intelligence. So it's bilingual, that's why.
Oh, that's right. Well, you're a bilingual and parent educator and author, and you call it the bridge. Ooh, yes. We're going to have to talk more about that. In fact, the bridge, I think it helps parents and teachers thrive in the AI era by prioritizing human skills. We're going to talk about that too.
Perfect. That's why we're here.
Yeah. And for over two decades, I think you've even done it longer because after I've learned about your story, this has been some passion. You've been working at the intersection of school and home for a long time.
Yes,
guiding families and educators in raising children who are emotionally intelligent, cognitively strong, and future ready. Don't we all want that?
Absolutely. Just that, you know, with this little introduction of AI, our roles change, and that's something that we have to adapt to.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And the reason why I wanted Martha on my show, not only is because we have a relationship ourselves, she's been writing often about AI and parents and family and on LinkedIn, and I've been blown away with her articles. So we're going to be touching on a few of those. Is that okay?
Perfect.
You're amazing. I always ask everyone, we start with their why. Can you share that with us?
Of course, Barbara. My why is to build that bridge for parents and teachers and students so they all thrive together. It's not replacing technology at this time. It is combining it with the workflow and human strengths. We need connection, resilience, and accountability. You know, to have children ready for the future, they need to think, they need to verify, they need to communicate and self-regulate. But we need to provide that environment where adults, you know, our coherence in home and school. And that's what I'm trying to bridge. My why is the future of children. I want them to thrive in a future that honestly is very uncertain at this time. We don't know what they're going to face. So they need to develop that human skills. And I feel that AI came and changed our roles as teacher and parents. And that's what I'm trying to bridge. So we are current in how we're raising them.
Oh, I love that idea of the bridge. I mean, I have nieces and children I have grandchildren and grandnieces, and I'm hearing from them how there isn't this connection and they're concerned about AI, and some of them are not sure about their jobs. So and so many things that we can talk about. You know, with that, how did you kind of get to where you are now? Because your background is really diverse. I'm not sure how much you want to share.
Sure. It is really diverse, but, you know, it's important because it's how I got here. Mm-hmm. You know, I was raised in Latin America, and I have moved through education in Latin America. And I was university academic affairs director of the biggest university. And I was also a university professor. And then I got married and moved to the States. But all this movement, and eventually, you know, I end in the public school system of the United States. So all this made me look the whole education system from different lenses. When I had all those leadership positions, I could see that the system of education is built in you know, standards in policies and expectations. And I also leave it from the workplace. I was a teacher and I could see how we struggle with very little support, a lot of demands, very little planning time. A lot of decisions need to be made. We have a lot of pressure to show results for the students. So all this guide me to see also education as a relationship. And that I think it changed everything for me, because kids learn when they trust, when they feel a connection with that adult, when they feel safe to make mistakes, when they can ask questions without feeling judged. So when, you know, those three lenses, which are the system, the workplace, and the relationship in education, made me move from following that shiny object, you know, like right now, I say, hey, let's go with this new tool, to trying to protect what really matters, which is students learning, and give them, parents and teachers, those tools they need to use to make possible that students grow up with resiliency, that can reflect, that can think by themselves, that can be, you know, owners of their own thinking and learning. So that's how I got to my why.
Do you work still in Latin America and the United States? Are you continuing doing that? Or
I support some teachers in Latin America because, you know, it's a little behind on AI, because the whole system and the capabilities and all that, even though Google is working very hard in making it possible, it's not exactly as we have it now. So I support them and guide them. You know, the problem is education is still work with the standards that were created many years ago. Mm-hmm. So, and they become in very slow, a school district and minister of education in the other countries, in adapt to the speed of AI. So teachers are in the middle. They are aware that the kids, any knowledge is at your fingertip now. So to define what really a child needs to know, when to bring AI in, it is a gray area for teachers, and that's where I'm supporting some of them in Costa Rica and Colombia.
Wow. Do you go there?
I do it a lot virtual.
A lot virtual.
And, uh-huh. And go, you know, it's not that I have all the time to travel. Honestly, this work is very busy.
Oh, yes. So, I mean, I was talking to you earlier about some of the work that you're doing. I know how big it is.
Gone through it.
Yeah, I've gone through it, but yes. We didn't have AI then when I was doing it.
I know, it was even harder.
It was a lot harder. Maybe give us a little background about the AI and maybe what you're doing with the bridge. Because that, I'm not really sure how to explain that, or even, I want you to do that.
Perfect. So this is what, you know, make me wanting to bridge this. Because if we analyze, child live in two worlds. They live at home and they live at school. So there are cases in, like, the child in home is asked for a speed because, you know, it's time to go to bed, so finish your homework. But in a school, the child is asked to explain knowledge. So that child is a split. And I have this case that is going to represent what I'm telling you. This, in one of my parent education classes, there was this mom that was super upset. And she asked me, what can I do? I don't think this is fair because my child, you know, present this perfect writing that the teacher requests. And it was put as AI done, and it was unfair. She gave it a zero. I mean, she was blown out. You know, so I tried to converse with her. And what we conclude was this, and this is what always happened in those two split worlds. That's what I want to bridge them. The mother explained me that, yes, the child had this writing, you know, homework, and it was very late because they needed to go to a soccer game from the brother. So when they come back, it was late. The kid needed to go to bed. And he said, "Mom, but I have this homework." So what she did, they took AI, you know, put the prompt, read it. She find it perfect because she's an adult. Say, "Okay, honey, here it is. Now you go to bed, you know, take your shower, do whatever you got to do."
Oh, wait a minute. You just said the mother did it?
Well, you know, with the child. But the thing is, if you think in the pressure of a mother, mm-hmm. because we got to see both places. She needed to speed this process. Mm-hmm. She didn't knew what. It was already 8:30 in the nighttime. By the time this kid started writing and she started correcting, that's the way she saw it.
I see it.
Mm-hmm. So she helped him to get into AI and and they read it. Mom, as an adult, find it perfect, perfect. So here goes the kid, very proud next year. Very proud, go to school and present his work. So here the teacher that know them, because you as a teacher know who can do what and who cannot do anything. So she say, "Okay, this is a little bit too perfect. So explain it to me, please. Explain me what this is saying in your own words." Kid couldn't. So that was the red big flag for the teacher. And that's why she didn't give a good grade and contact the mother. So all these things, I explained the mother, you know, if you think about it, the teacher is right. She's trying to help your child. Your child is going to grow up to, and is going to have to do this independently of AI. Mm-hmm. So I share my process, which is you can use in both home and school. It's explain, show me first. What is show me? What pre-war have you done? Where is your draft? What ideas do you want to cover in this? Then explain me, what did you write? Verify. You can use AI as a support, you know, because it, the information is there. Verify it and correct what is needed. That make it your own, not AI writing. So from all these parents and teachers and all that comes the bridge. And I created the bridge, if you see it in LinkedIn, it's trying to give parents and teachers the same tools they can use in both environments. Like this that I just told you, the show me, explain it, verify it, and correct, mm-hmm. can be used in both to develop the students. And for teachers, I create the epistemic protocol because, as I told you, it's a great area for them to know at this point what knowledge the student needs to learn and understand what concepts, and also depend of the age of the student before we introduce AI. So I developed that guide and an agent that is being tested in Nepal that is based on the epistemic principle. So before it produces the lesson plan, ask the teacher and guide the teacher about, does the student know this before we introduce AI? You know, it's so, I hope that goes well.
I think you should get some teachers in, maybe a pilot in the States, because of the standards here.
Yes.
I mean, just looking at this idea of understanding prior knowledge, if mm-hmm. that child was writing something, I don't know what it was, but if it was historical or whatever, or about science or whatever, to find out the prior knowledge before. Is the agent do that?
Yes, the agent guide teachers, you know, because you always, mm-hmm. you also need to think that they need to keep their sovereignty. They need to be the architects of that knowledge. So it's not that the agent is going to tell them, this is what you do. No, it's say, this is where you can go. And this mm-hmm. is the options you have so they can choose on the term. But I found, I decided to test it in Nepal. First, because to be honest with you, when I created at the beginning, my main point was to help those areas. There are areas in Africa, by example, where they can have electricity one day. Mm-hmm. One day, because I was talking in an Africa conference, you know, for women from Africa. And if you have electricity one day as a teacher, what can you do? Well, an agent at that time was not an agent, was a bot, can help you plan the whole unit, boom, 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 in that day that you have electricity. Go to the public library, plan it, print everything, and be ready, sure that you're teaching what it has to be taught. So my origin for this was to help those areas where there is no support, because are also the areas where those childs are not learning what they need and they need it the most.
Yeah. I'm just worried about what's going on in our country right now, too, because we have public education under attack, and many of those children are in high marginalized areas with little resources. So if this agent becomes something that you're able to, you know, expand it mm-hmm. to meet the needs of children anywhere. I mean, because the thing that I see is parents are, you know, they're doing whatever they can. They're working
yes.
really hard. And you mentioned like this with this mother went in and, I mean, we used to have something that in California was the mission project. So everybody in fourth grade made a diorama or a thing of a, mm-hmm. built a mission. Well, the parents did it.
Always, I know.
You know, because it's too much for the kids. They don't do it anymore, but they used to anyway. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea is how you can have the parents, you know, be effective partners with the teachers because they don't know how. They don't
exactly. And that's what the bridge is doing. Actually, yeah. I work with Ioannis Anapliotis. He's in
Greece. Oh, I know Ioannis. Yeah, I know.
He is in Greece. So we work together and we're developing another agent for parents. You know how parents are not teachers. And that happened to me before. I was a teacher from elementary with my child, you know. Mm-hmm. If a child tell you, you know, you write 1 + 1 and he writes 11, you say, no, honey, it's 2. And that is done. He didn't learn because for us as an adults, we're not teachers. We say, no, it's 2 because 1 and 1 is 2, 2, you write the number 2, it's not. But we're not teaching. So we're developing, not trying to make parents teachers, but guide them through the process of learning. So it's easier for them to guide students. It's a lot of work ahead.
It's good work. I mean, I'm a database developer. I've done a lot in the past. And, you know, I understand the process. I don't understand the process of how you want to do this with, I mean, I kind of understand mm-hmm. the process you want to do this with AI, with the standards and the age, and then somehow get all the information that you need around maybe a concept in a standard and then find out what the child knows. Boy, that's a lot of work right there.
It is has been very difficult, especially making those tree knowledge for the standards, you know, in order the agent to be able to determine what comes first and have the teacher choose. So it haven't been easy, but it's a passion. Mm-hmm. And when you have a passion, you just go to whatever.
And one thing I love doing is kind of sharing some of the projects and things that you've been sharing on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. You just wrote something today. I'm sorry, I can't remember all of a sudden.
It's the harnessing the winds of change.
That was it.
Moving from police work to mentorship. Because that is something that, Barbara, happens very much. And mm-hmm. we see it, Ioannis and I see it all the time, because parents at home, what do they say? Okay, you're half an hour, let's say an example, of screen is gone, honey. It's over. So you become a police. And mm-hmm. you're not getting involved. And it's very important to parents to have a shared language, because that's all they, you know, normally do. Okay, here is mm-hmm. the alarm. You already did this. You use it for homework here. That's perfect. But do we know about algorithm? Do we know that algorithm are predicting what your child is going to see and is going to influence their decisions and is going to influence who they are? We don't know that. So what this article is trying to explain is move from that, you know, police attitude to mentorships. Go and say, what of everything you saw today was good for you?
Yeah.
Tell me what is about it. Why did you like it? And talk to them and say, do you know this is predicting what you're seeing? Do you know it's trying to influence your thought? So is this really you? Do you like it? Or are you seeing it mm-hmm. because they present it to you? And those conversations are going to develop that reasoning that our children's need for the future.
I love that, because, I mean, I've traveled in mm-hmm. different countries, and I was in one, it was a year eight, and the children are sitting around at the end of the day, and the teacher said, talk to your neighbor about what you did to risk your learning today. And the kids were so, so excited mm-hmm. about sharing that they took a chance, they tried something new, and we don't ask the kids that.
Exactly. We don't normally do one. That's what we're trying to promote.
Yeah.
To get, just to become a mentor. That's what they need now. They don't need us. And that's how the teacher role shifts. We are not holder of knowledge anymore. They need to, you know, we need them to guide them in acquire that knowledge, to determine if that knowledge is true, to be clear in what they're reading, because AI also hallucinates. You know, AI can tell you very easy that penguins can fly because they are birds and they have wings. It is true.
Yeah, I know.
They need to be aware of it. And just us as mentors can make that possible.
Well, you know, I'm a mentor. I
know.
Do this at South by Southwest. I always work with, but I'm constantly trying to up my own mentor skills, because it's about listening really closely to really hear what's happening.
Yes.
And, you know, with parents, they're running so fast.
Yes.
And they say, oh, we're going to read a book, you know, like that. And they don't get a chance because they're really tired.
Exactly.
That whole idea of having these conversations, even with young children.
Mm-hmm. And connecting with them.
Yeah.
Yes. Connection is the base of everything. You know, I recommend when you have a small child, what I call special time.
Yeah.
That is something that you built in. Like if you can just 1 week, it doesn't matter. But the child will be very happy to know that that time is reserved for them. And something that is very important about a special time, that I did the big mistake. I thought watching a movie with my son was a special time. No, it's interact with them. It's to do what they want to do, not mm-hmm. what we decide. It's their decision. And so they feel yeah. special, and they develop connection that will allow us to guide them as they grow.
So I wrote 2 books on personalized mm-hmm. learning. So one of the things I did is visit a lot of schools that said mm-hmm. they were personalizing learning. And what I observed as a common theme was how they gave the learners more voice and choice. They gave them opportunities to mm-hmm. choose how they were going to learn. And I think what you're saying with the agent if it shows where they are at that mm-hmm. particular time, then the teacher and the parent have a better understanding of how they're going to proceed with whatever is given to them, because it's personalizing the learning more. Yes. But the way to do this with AI is to use the information, not just to give them AI, but to show them how to use it effectively.
Exactly, Barbara. That's exactly what it is. And that's mm-hmm. what our mentorship should be about, you know, to guide them to understand that. Yes, you got it.
So, you know, for me, I'm going to different conferences and I see AI everywhere now. It's like when I first started with personalized learning long ago, 10 years, more mm-hmm, than that now, mm-hmm. and I would go to a conference, all of a sudden personalized learning was everywhere. it's catchy. AI is going to just be here. It's here.
It's going to be here. But, you know, for 2026, I have hopes, because as you say, it's going to be here and it's going to mm-hmm. stay. And the only thing it's going to do is improve and get faster than us. So what I hope happens is that the system move from that excitement of tools and build clarity about boundaries. What must remain human? What can be supported by AI? And mm-hmm. what must be verified? The other part that I would love to see a change is in assessment. They need to shift, because the evidence of learning is not anymore that end product. It is the process to get there. And we're going to have to make that shift. And the third thing that I hope is that real differentiation in have the clarity to develop those human skills. Yes. Tell me.
Well, I've seen this happen. You know, I really have. But now with AI, it's so big. Like I said, I'm going to conferences, which mm-hmm. said tech conferences. Everything is AI, everything. And they're showing how the AI can do writing, and AI mm-hmm. can do this. And I'm trying to figure out how can they do what you're saying and make sure those companies are aware of your agent. Because I think they're missing the boat here. The agent you're talking about, it's so important and it's so valuable that they need to know how to help the teacher and the parent so they can use that bridge. It's missing that humans.
Is the epistemic principle. Yes, we need to know. Yes, I agree with you. But, you know, everything takes a step. So once I have all the feedback from Nepal and probably from India to another parent, I can, because to bring it to the States, you have to think on this. It's a very sophisticated market because it's floated with everything.
Yeah.
So I cannot bring it for testing. It has to be already improved.
Yeah.
And proven to be accepted here. I cannot ask a U.S. teacher that I'm so overwhelmed. Oh, let's try this.
No.
Look at me like, what are you talking about? I don't have time for this.
Yeah. But you have... I mean, we're both on the human intelligence movement. I think you're part of that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Michelle. I'm just mm-hmm. thinking this is kind of a really cool idea to get out internationally too. So, and Jonas, that's how I met him, was through that, mm-hmm. that group. And is he going to do something with that in Greece? I mean...
Yes. Well, what happened, which is another confederation we have got to have, Greece doesn't work with the standards. The teachers are free. It's like when education was fun.
Well, can they do? See, here's the thing. They still have content. They still have kids at certain ages.
Yes.
So couldn't they, without standards, take a concept? Like,
yes, we're working on it. The thing is, because those teachers feel more freedom, they don't want to get pulled into that jet. Ioannis does because he's the head of the technology. So he developed great projects, like he incorporated the knowledge of, I think it's Socrates.
Oh, it's Socrates,
and,
yeah.
And to answer the students and, you know, and yeah. We get in there, but it's also so many different environments. That's why I'm starting in environments where it's not so easy. Because when you go to difficult environments, then you develop the product the best it can be.
Wow. I've been doing this for so long.
I know.
Personally, to me, I just want to hug teachers. I just know how hard it is. I'm an advocate for them, but I want them to advocate for themselves. And I want parents to understand that it's not an easy thing to raise kids nowadays.
No, it is not.
You do the best you can. But there is a part, what I love that you're doing with the bridge is showing that if they're partners in a relationship with the teachers and you know that child, you really are. It does take a village, like they say.
It does take a village. And I make it urgent. You know, that partnership is urgent now. It's not optional like before. It just has to happen.
Oh, well, we could go on and on forever. Is there anything that you wanted to say that I didn't bring up?
No, Barbara, I think this has been a wonderful conversation. I always enjoy talking with you. I hope I wish you had more time so we can talk more often.
Oh, I make time, Martha. I'll make time.
Rich.
I love it. I have a few more minutes if there's anything else you want to share, because you said one thing I love, because I share stories about things that teachers are doing. And there are this K-1 teachers, Lisa and Wanda in Wisconsin, who called their K-1 kids architects of learning. And you brought that up.
Yes.
And just watching the kids, when you let go and let kids through, have you heard of Reggio Emilia? It's an approach to learning that was developed in Italy after World War II. But it's basically the environment is the third educator. And the kids are basically, it's preschool, but now people are doing this technique older. But it's where you observe the kids and you write portfolios of what you're seeing. And then you work with the parents to say, at this point, look at where they're at. So it's more like what's going on in Greece.
Exactly.
You're observing, you're watching, they're playing, they're learning at the same time. And we just need to kind of get back to that a little bit, because everything's too much structure.
Exactly. And that's what our system has brought us. Yes, but we need to move more at playing and observation and reflection. You know, the reflective teacher is the best that can happen. When you have the time to observe your child and know how to guide it. Yes, I agree with you.
Well, Martha, definitely going to do more, because I just, you know, just being on, you put my audience here. Martha put together, I think, 26 people sharing on her show.
Yes.
And it was amazing how you pulled that together. But you also now with your writing, I just want, let's definitely put links on the post that goes so people can read what you're doing and your books, and probably going to be more books and more things. I can't wait, because we really need it.
We really do. And I feel blessed, you know, because you don't realize how you get to places until you see back. And everything was built like perfectly, you know. I live in Costa Rica. I work as in leadership in university. Then I marry an American, move to the States, work with public school, then parent education. It's like everything was, you know, put there to build this together, to do this bridge. I didn't have another option, because I work, you know, across all these different environments. Yes.
Well, it's all come, it's just the beginning of a wonderful journey. I mean, I know it's on the way, and I'm definitely going to be on the journey with you. And thank you so much for being on my virtual porch with me, Martha. I love it.
Oh, I love it more, Barbara. And thank you so much for bringing me. I know it is always a pleasure to talk to you, as I tell you. Mm-hmm. I remember we used to get into the phone for long conversations just to talk.
I know.
It was fun. Well, thank you.
We built our own relationship here and we'll continue.
yes, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
So much. Always a pleasure to see you and to talk with you.
Thank you so much. And we'll just keep on going. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to my conversation with Dr. Martha Umana. I really enjoyed our conversation about her program, The Bridge, and how it helps parents and teachers thrive in the AI era by prioritizing human skills. Oh, I met Martha over a year ago when I was on a webinar she hosted. That's when I learned about her parenting guide, the Calm Parenting series, and The Bridge, and more. So she helped create the blog post that accompanies this podcast on my website, barbarabray.net. So make sure you check out all the tips and resources that she shares. Dr. Martha Umana is someone special for you to know, so follow her. Please share this podcast and the blog post about her story with your friends. Thanks again for listening. Keep sharing your story. And please, stay safe and be well.